This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up. But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio.
On WGR.
Welcome back. Sports Talk Saturday. Derek Kramer, Joe Kelly here with you, joined by Sal Capaccio from Rookie Minicamp, and all of our coverage of Bills Rookie Minicamp on WGR is presented by Fiegel, Carr, and Joyce, your border attorneys, and brought to you by, in part by Window Nation, the perfect fit for your home and wallet. Sal, for me here, a long time no talk. It was good to hear from you yesterday at Rookie Minicamp.
Yeah, for sure. And just for full transparency, I'm not at Rookie Minicamp today because the media is not allowed at Rookie Minicamp today. But they are holding Rookie Minicamp today, and we can talk about what happened yesterday. Yesterday was the one day the media was allowed to be there and view practice and then talk to players afterward. And then today the team, presumably I'd guess this afternoon at around the same time, yesterday was 12:30, would be on the practice field once again. And they'll end their rookie mini camp. The rookies will stay, and then they'll be a part of OTAs with the rest of the veterans, you know, starting next week.
And Sal, of course, yesterday is that time, as you mentioned, where the media is there. They do get to see the first look of these rookies being able to work out here. And you did have yourself a nice little piece up here on our website as well, getting some first impressions. Who were some of the players that you liked seeing working out there yesterday?
I thought the wide receiver, Caden Prather, had a really nice day. He's a seventh-round draft pick. He ran some solid routes. This is mostly an 11-on-11, not thinking about it, talking about the regular drills before that. And they didn't do, like, from what we saw, one-on-one, like against DBs. But when they went 11-on-11, he was finding zones. He was getting open, and he was making catches. He actually made a couple really nice catches as well. Not necessarily against any specific DB. They were rotating a lot of guys, but he had a really nice day. Landon Jackson was just a massive, you could see who he is. When he's out there, you could tell he's just bigger. And look, these are a lot of undrafted free agents. These are rookies. These aren't a lot of the veterans in there. So maybe that changes a little bit when the veterans come, but you could see that he's just built differently than a lot of guys, right? He's a bigger guy, standing on the edge right there, coming off the edge. Really kind of impressive type of, body type for him. Jackson Hawes, the blocking tight end, I use the quotes here, because he was not a blocking tight end yesterday. He was a catching tight end yesterday. This guy was catching everything. And they were throwing it to him a lot. In fact, the very first play of 11-on-11 was a pass and a catch to Jackson Hawes in the flat. And then later he made a couple other catches down the seam. Now, I do want to say, if anybody has any, oh my God, they're going to use him differently than blocking tight end. Let's remember, it's rookie minicamp, and he's really the only rookie there that's going to be on the roster. So, of course, they're going to use him in every situation to get as many reps as he can right now. Because once he goes with Dawson Knox and Dalton Kincaid and Zach Davidson, he's not getting those reps. I mean? So they're gonna use him as much as possible now, which is why he'll... Same thing with Caden Prather. Caden Prather is going to be probably doing this now because they need to get him as many reps they can, because once it gets well, all the veterans are there, he's going to have a lot fewer reps. So I understand that from the coaching staff. And then real quickly, guys, the quick twitchiness, the change of speed, change of direction of Max Harrison is just undeniable. And I put some video up on him at Sal Sports. You can see that. The way he flips his hips, the way he changes direction, you can see that. It's really great to see. And Dorian Strong, another corner, just really looks the part of a corner. When you see him out there, you can say that's an NFL cornerback when you see the guy.
And Strong is where I wanted to start on this, Sal. He did have himself an interesting little quote yesterday of how he worked together with Hairston throughout the offseason, and more or less of how they can learn with each other. The Bills, obviously, three defensive backs. All of them are going to be competing for snaps throughout for the season here, and this is their first chance to be able to do so. It's good, though, to hear that Harrison is looking the part with being able to flip his hips. That video that you posted up there, not only in our article, but you had mentioned also on Twitter, X, or whatever it's called. But to see Strong also being able to look the part early on here, it is a nice, refreshing thing to see, because I was waxing poetic about that at 4:30 on a Saturday during day three of the draft.
That you liked it or didn't like
that
it?
That I loved that pick. That was probably my favorite of the class.
He's long. He's long. He's bigger. He can play. He said in a Zoom call to us when they drafted him, he loves playing press man, which is really nice. You know, when you have a guy that likes to do that and you can put him in that situation. But, you know, the Bills are primarily a zone team. So he's going to have to not, I would even say, learn it, because he has played zone defense, you know, but he's going to have to make sure that he's on top of how the Bills want to run a system. And again, I'll go back to what I said earlier, which is this is rookie minicamp, so these draft picks are going to get a lot of reps. They're going to get more of the lion's share of everything than the undrafted free agents, and certainly of the rookie tryout players who are there, because those guys probably won't be around. Most of them, you know, almost all of them, I would say, next week. So you're going to start getting those guys that are going to be a part of your, you know, OTAs and veteran mini camp and training camp. You're going to give them as much work as possible. So when you see a guy like Dorian Strong, when you hear about him having a nice day, it's got to be put in context that he's going with a lot of other rookies and he's getting a lot of work. So that's really nice to see. But like I said, I think the thing for me was going out there, seeing him on the field and saying, okay, like that, he was just, you know, he stands above. He's a little taller than the rest of the DBs, you know what I mean, the corners, when he's out there. And then you watch him a little bit, and you're like, okay, like, he's got an NFL body. And we'll see how it translates. Jordan Hancock, if you watch the video I put of Max Harrison, he's next to Jordan Hancock. And it's unfair to Jordan Hancock because he's not Max Harrison, right? When he's flipping his hips, he did nothing wrong. But if you watch him, you're like, oh, that guy compared to Max Harrison. Well, maybe, but again, Max Harrison looks so good doing it that Jordan Hancock will look just fine doing it. It might be unfair because he's doing it next to Max Harrison, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. And speaking of Max Harrison, not just his twitchiness like we've been speaking about, but his, I feel like, leadership. He broke down the practice to start yesterday. I've seen videos of that. What did you get from his attitude yesterday?
Same thing we got when he was drafted, the night he was drafted, Joe. Same thing we got on the Zoom call, which is he's just really engaging and fun. He's a lot like Tre'Davious White had been for years, you know, and not as much the last couple of years in Buffalo. He had the injury, and then, you know, he just came back. But you know, I would say, remember, you guys remember when Tre'Davious White, like, picked up that play sheet during the game and had fun with it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think Max Harrison has the same kind of fun-loving personality. In fact, maybe even more so, meaning, like, he's just kind of, he wants to just talk and be out there and, you know, be really, you know, kind of in front of the camera smiling, right? It seems like that's just his personality, that he enjoys that part of it. That being said, you walk up to him, you talk to him, looks you in the eye, says hi, has a smile on his face. You know, I specifically went up to him and said, hey, I have a son named Max. I call him Mad Max. He's like, oh my God, that's great, right? I mean, like, little things like that. So I think the personality just fits right in with, you know, what they want here in Buffalo. And look, that's not to say that he's not taking things seriously. Of course he is. But he has a really, you know, fun personality. There's nothing wrong with that. I think he loves playing football, loves being on a football field, loves to be a part of a team, loves his teammates. When he was drafted, what did he say? He kept saying, my job's to get the ball back to Josh Allen. Like, that's my job. Give him the ball because he's great. Like, he's not out there for his own personal accolades. He's out there to make sure that his quarterback has a chance to win the game for them.
Sal, you mentioned something after Joe mentions the whole thing of, like, you know, good persona, the personality and everything like that. It's a good time to help pitch this as well. The interview that you had with Matt Bove, with head coach Sean McDermott, a guy who has, over the last couple of years now, there's been a bit more of a personality outwardly being expressed by the Bills head coach. And your interview with him, with Matt Bove, is still something that, if people haven't checked it out, we need to make sure to give that as much attention as we can right now. It's a nice little off-season bump of good content.
Yeah, I appreciate it. And I know you guys have some of the clips there, too. You can play some if you want, you know, today, if anybody's interested. But in the meantime, I would suggest anybody go to my YouTube page. It's where the Always Game Day in Buffalo show lives. It's at Sal Sports on YouTube. You can watch it, but you can also, of course, listen and download it. iTunes, Spotify, all those things. The Odyssey app, you can find all this stuff. And, you know, a little background information here. We were gonna do this with Coach McDermott during the owners' meetings. Like, it was kind of set up that we're gonna have a little, you know, Matt and me with Sean during the owners' meetings for the podcast. Well, Sean's on the competition committee, so his schedule kind of got a little, you know, funky where he couldn't really commit the time to us, and we were doing our thing. We never really matched it up. So it didn't happen, and we're like, okay, well, that kind of stunk. So we get back to Buffalo. It's been a few weeks, been, you know, obviously over a month. The draft happens. And, you know, credit to Bills PR director Derek Boyko. He actually reached out to both of us and said, hey, we'd still love to do this. Like, if you want Coach McDermott, like, I know we're going to do it at the owners' meetings, but let's still do it. I'm like, oh, that'd be great. Let's do this. And I'm going to be really honest with you guys. I'm so glad we didn't do it at the owners' meetings, because at that time it would have been about what the roster looks like, who they're looking at in the draft, the positions. It would have been about rules. This was not that. This interview was about Sean McDermott, the person. Sean McDermott, the coach, and the pursuit of a Lombardi trophy and what it means for him, what it would mean for the city of Buffalo. It was great. And there was just some fun things we talked about, music tastes and playing instruments and, you know, when he's growing up and those kinds of things too that we made that were fun, but a lot of real emotional, passionate stuff from Sean McDermott about being the head coach, not of the Bills, but of the Buffalo Bills and what that means to him in this city.
It is awesome to see, and absolutely we need to make sure to say, if you haven't heard it, there's plenty of time to. Mm-hmm. We have an off season here, but Sal, as you mentioned, OTA is coming up very quickly as well. I would imagine there might be a quote-unquote story, non-story. We'll see if James Cook is there. I would like to see if he is there, because then we can finally not worry about it or even pretend to worry about it. I'm in this boat where I don't think it's a problem. It's next year's problem. He's going to be here.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the risk takers, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the boldest voices in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about breaking barriers, defying expectations, and rewriting the rules. No limits, no apologies, just real talk. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, well, I would tell you exactly 1 month from today is the key date, June 10th. That is mandatory minicamp. That's right.
But if he shows up to OTAs, it kind of quashes it.
Totally, 100% right. But if he's not there, which he hasn't been yet from anything we know, then we're going to keep having this wondering and storyline. Then on June 10th, 10th, 11th, 12th, that's mandatory minicamp. Will he be here? What's the situation then? Brandon Bean has, you know, really kind of talked very positively about James Cook being a Buffalo Bill, wearing the helmet in 2025, and he wants him here long term. We'll see if that translates to him being here on June 10th for mandatory minicamp. That's the next key date to know. So, yeah, they have that. OTAs between now and then, they're currently in phase two. They have three phases. Phase three won't start for a few more weeks. The media, we will not be back out there, guys, until after Labor Day. May 27th is our next day out there. So, you have between now and the next 2 weeks, there's no media. We're not going to get any. Now, you might get the Bills on their own website or Twitter feed tweeting out some pictures or video, but, like, you know, the media can't be out there to watch and to report on and to talk to players until May 27th, and then we'll get coaches as well at some point there. In the meantime, between now and then, you guys know what next Wednesday is. That's the NFL schedule release. So there's a lot to talk about anyway with, you know, between now and the next time we're able to see players on the field.
Oh, man, that takes away from – I know I'm going to be working that night now. You just ruined my going to go watch.
Release, yeah.
You managed to, like, not you ruining it, but, like, the NFL ruins my idea of going out to Rochester to catch game one of Americans and Laval Rocket. So I'm going to have to be here.
Well, is that next Wednesday?
That's this coming Wednesday, yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
So, sorry. Sorry to do that to you, man.
Well, someone's got to let me
blame
know.
Roger Goodell.
I'm going to, yes, like I said, I'm not blaming you, Sal. You're helping me with my ideal and helping to make sure the dream is dead.
It's where the booze come from for the commish. So.
But I appreciate you letting me know. I can clear my schedule now as a tear rolls down my cheek. But Sal, the NFL schedule, you teased it, and we were just going to ask questions about that. And, Sal, you had an interesting little tidbit with Jeremy and Nate yesterday about it of what is the most interesting and appealing idea for, like, a potential Bills Christmas game matchup. And I remember Jeremy saying something about Bills Bengals, but you had something.
It wasn't Christmas.
Oh, it wasn't Christmas. Forgive me. I do apologize.
Let me tell you what happened so everybody understands. Yep. I'm glad you brought it up because I need to clarify something from yesterday too, just so everybody knows, okay? What happened was this. Yesterday morning, Patrick Hammer of Channel 2, WGRZ TV chief meteorologist, he texted me yesterday in the 9 o'clock hour and said, hey, just so you know, the Today Show on NBC just teased that Josh Allen's going to be on Monday. Okay, so you guys know what that means. If you're bringing Josh Allen on, you're teasing something with the network that they're going to reveal on a game, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Today Show is NBC. So next week, you're getting NBC. Today Show, you're getting Good Morning America on ABC. You're getting CBS Today. You're getting all these shows that are... CBS This Morning, I think it's called, right? I think you're getting all these shows where they'll have somebody from the NFL kind of reveal throughout the week. Well, if Josh is going on NBC, that lends yours to believe, okay, there's some what game on NBC would you highlight and have Josh Allen kind of reveal for you, right?
First one of
the
year,
we went
right
to week one Sunday Night Football was the thing. That wasn't Christmas. We were talking week one Sunday
Night
Football.
Yeah, sorry, I was in and out of the room. I had only caught part of that.
Yeah. So that's where we got to. Jeremy said he thinks the Bengals would be the hottest team. I said, I think it'd be Ravens. If you're NBC's position, I think you'd want Eagles. You can't have them. They're going to play on Thursday night. And then I think you'd probably want Chiefs or Ravens maybe ahead of Bengals, but I totally get Bengals. It'd be a great matchup, no doubt. I was not saying that at all, but I do think that, like, to me, if I'm in California or if I'm in Texas and you give me Bengals at Bills or Ravens at Bills, it might maybe slightly ahead be Ravens at Bills. But either way, they're both great matchups. They're all great matchups. Chiefs at Bills, all that. That being said, here's the other thing I want to tell you. I wanted to update.
Yes.
So then I was told later in the day, Josh actually might not be on the Today Show on Monday. So I don't know. And there was that they did tease it. They did say that. Then last night I was watching NBC and I saw a teaser for the Today Show, and they did tease Josh, but they said next week. They did not specifically say Monday. They did say next week, though. So I don't know what's going on, but it still feels to me, whether or not they have Josh or not, they're planning something to reveal with the Bills on NBC.
They're throwing up the smoke screen, trying to...
If we had cameras, people would see my pondering face right now, just like, this is fascinating.
Could it be an Ireland thing, Sal? Is that possible? Like with the Steelers?
I like Sal's theory the most, though, that it's probably the first Sunday night football game.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. You're saying who? Did you bring up a team there? I'm sorry, you say Steelers? Oh, Ireland?
Yeah. Yeah. Could that be what it is? I mean, I know.
No, I don't think NBC has that game.
Mm.
No, I think that's a 9:30 a.m. game. Those games generally on like NFL Network, aren't they?
Yes. Those guys
they're typically
call
NFL
it.
Network. Mm-hmm. And I think NFL Network also carries the third Thanksgiving game, so we're not going back to Turkey Day, I would hope.
No, I'd hope not. That would be...
The only way the Bills would play on Thanksgiving would be the night game, which is possible.
Right.
So they're not playing at the Cowboys this year, they're not playing at the Lions this year. We know that, and they host the two daytime Thanksgiving games.
Yes.
So you could have a night game for the Bills. That could happen on Thanksgiving. You could have Black Friday for the Bills. That could happen also instead. You could have Christmas. There are three games on Christmas. We don't know any of those teams right now.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a six-team possibility there where the Bills could fall in. I've long believed the Bills are going to play on Christmas only because they are the subject of the Hallmark movie. And yes. Obviously they have Josh Allen.
Right.
And that you could make that weekend, that game, could be the final regular season scheduled game at Highmark Stadium as well on Christmas, right?
Oh.
Now, I will tell you guys, though, I'm just letting you know this. I have my own reasons to say this. I have become much more lukewarm on the Bills playing on Christmas over the last few days.
Mm-hmm.
Just from things that I've heard or pieced together from people. I don't know this. I will tell you straight out, Mike North does not give me the schedule. He does not tell me that. I'm not asking him, and if I did, he wouldn't tell me. But just because I do hear things from people, I was really thinking the Bills would play on Christmas until probably over the last maybe 48 hours. I'm thinking, I'm not sure if that's going to happen or not. That said, I don't know if we're talking enough about maybe, what about that Saturday after Christmas? A standalone night game on that Saturday.
Yeah,
because the NFL is playing that weekend on Saturday.
Yep. Mm-hmm. That's a good point. That could be a Peacock game, an NBC game.
Why Josh Allen would possibly be.
Possibly.
We're adding more mystique and intrigue here, Sal, as the schedule release is on Wednesday.
Yes, for sure. So schedule release is Wednesday night. So, yeah, I don't know, Derek. You going to be around? We can we'll talk about it. We'll chop it up a little bit. We're going to do a podcast, I'm sure, Matt Bove and I. So, you know.
I'll be here. Zach Jones and I will be on the nightcap for that one because Zach dragged me in for the NHL draft lottery on Monday. So, yeah, I'm absolutely going to have to be here for the schedule release on Wednesday.
Yeah, well, it'll be fun. We'll find out Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday leading up to the schedule release. I'm sure a game or two with the Bills and obviously the rest of the league.
Yeah, I'd imagine it'll be interesting to see how much of it is leaked and pieced together a little bit of how much of it's pieced together by the time Zach and I jump on Wednesday night.
Yeah, for sure. We'll see what happens between now and then. I'm interested. You guys know I love this stuff. I love the schedule. I'll have a mock schedule I put out at some point.
There we go.
I wasn't too bad in my.
We did pretty well, Sal. We did pretty well with the mocks.
It's so funny, right? Like. Believe me when I tell people, I understand a mock schedule can be the cheesiest thing in the world and the biggest waste of time for anybody listening out there. However, for people like me who like puzzles and the schedule and we're nerds about it, it's fun, right? So that's what we do.
If it gets people on the website to read that, it's because they enjoy it.
It's all about the clicks, baby. That's right.
I wouldn't even say it's all about the clicks. If people are genuinely entertained by it, you've done your job.
I won't even put it on the website, a mock schedule. I'll just tweet it out. You can just take a look at it. But Matt Bove and I, we did it last year. We both came up with a mock schedule and, you know, kind of compared and contrast. And then once it starts happening, it does not matter whatever you say in the mock schedule. It's not like the mock draft where you're like, Sal Capaccio didn't have three guys who got drafted in the first round. Like, we know the opponents. We're just trying to put them in the right week here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're only putting a puzzle piece together. It's not, hey, maybe this player will be available by the time a team picks.
Yeah, it's a lot different. So, but we'll do that this week.
Yeah, Sal, I actually have one more question just on the away opponents. Everyone's talking about, how many primetime games will the Bills have, right? The home schedule, you could see there's plenty of good opponents. The Ravens, Bengals, Chiefs. The away schedule, though... Falcons, Panthers, Browns, Patriots probably would be the only one I'd say because of the Diggs situation. Like off the top, right?
So obviously they're way more like attractive home opponents for primetime for the Bills, right? As you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
But I wouldn't discount any of these teams, Joe, to be honest with you. Like Houston could be a primetime game, the Texans.
Yep, you're right.
Like, you know, that's a team that went to the AFC divisional round last year. They have CJ Stroud, right? That could be one. And then I just think you could never discount any division game as a primetime game. The Bills have gone to the Jets the last couple of years. I know there's no Aaron Rodgers anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just, it's a division game. Patriots, I agree with you. And then how about the Dolphins?
Yeah,
and that's
right.
Always, I mean, they played primetime against the Dolphins last year in week two on Thursday night.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, Atlanta, I mean, I couldn't see Carolina just from how we're talking about it. But then again, did you guys think the Buccaneers or the Broncos would be a primetime game a couple of years ago in Buffalo?
Oh, yeah,
I mean, you just never know what you're going to get, right?
It's also the Bills are a draw of their own, and you could use them for a primetime game.
Yeah.
You know, it's a great point. That's a great point you just brought up, Derek, because Mike North said when we interviewed him on the Always Game Day in Buffalo podcast last month, we asked him a lot of these things about the schedule, and he said, you know, back in the day, you had to pair the Bills with a team that people would go to watch. But now the Bills are the team that you go to watch, right? They're the anchor. So really, you can kind of put another team on there who you want to get in prime time, but there's no real other spot, and say, just put them against the Bills. People will watch. So, Joe, back to your question, maybe that's where you get a Carolina.
Right.
Maybe that's where you get a Cleveland, because you're like, look, we're just putting the Bills on, but that way we get at least a chance to put that team on prime time, and it's against an opponent that has the MVP.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right.
And that alone is kind of the greatest way to appreciate the Bills as they are right now. You're like, you don't have a Super Bowl appearance yet. A, there's still time, but B, they're still currently one of the more appreciated teams in the National Football League. And that in itself makes this era worth it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for sure. And they're going to be like that for a while. I specifically asked Mike, too, in this podcast. I said, you always told us how Josh Allen just resonates, obviously, so highly for ratings and primetime. Now that he won the MVP, is it even more so? And he goes, absolutely. So whatever you've seen for primetime and national window games for the Bills the last several years, get ready for maybe even more of that this year.
Sal, it's been a great conversation. Zach and I will probably try to bug you on Wednesday.
All right. Talk to you later, guys. Thanks a lot. Have a great rest of your weekend, and happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there.
There you go. That is from our own Sal Capaccio there on the West Her Hotline. Coverage of Bills Rookie Minicamp on WGR is presented by Fiegel, Carr, and Joyce, your border attorneys, and brought to you in part by Window Nation, the perfect fit for your home and wallet. And then we obviously dig into the schedule there a little bit with some more intrigue.
Mm-hmm.
And I there's a couple things I really liked about that conversation. One, we're getting more to lukewarm about Christmas.
Yes.
I'm in favor of that.
I would like a late Christmas Day game, like later in the day.
I don't want it at all.
No?
No.
Wait, lukewarm meaning like you don't...
Not, the temperature's not as hot as it was.
No, right. So it might not be happening.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Like that could be one way or another.
If it happens though, one is the best option.
But hearing lukewarm instead of like, you know, it's hot,
mm-hmm.
that makes me feel better.
Right.
Or if you're that kind of person that wants it, for example... Lukewarm is better than not at all.
Yeah, exactly.
We're
at the perfect medium. The glass is literally half full.
You can take it as you will,
mm-hmm.
and figure it out from there.
Yeah.
So,
but there is a lot of intrigue around the schedule.
I'm not going to say I'm the opposite of Sal with the schedule. I don't really like that there is a whole day that the league dedicates to it because I know why they do. It's about money.
Yeah. Rivalry jerseys too. They're going to be probably announced with the schedule because it's going to link up. Where they're going to be. So
that might be a new, that like the uniforms though might be something that releases separately than the schedule.
Right.
Themselves.
Make it a 12-month business. I'm gonna look into that in the break because we can brainstorm at when we come back.
You know what that is? That's a perfect July 2nd tweet from the NFL.
Like when the Bills released the chicken wing one on April Fool's Day a couple years ago. Remember that?
Yeah. How can you forget? It's cursed items.
You'll know, though, the rivalry
games
will be announced on on Wednesday. So you know the games. You just won't know the uniforms yet.
Yes.
So.
They might tease one of the uniforms just to get people to like really care about the idea.
Mm-hmm. I love that the AFC East is the first year, though. We get it right away. So this will be interesting.
Yes. In a year where the rivalries have not been as tough.
No. It's more ownership for the Bills at this point.
Yes and no.
Bills-Dolphins rivalry, they've won game.
Coming off of a year where the one division loss that Buffalo has is they effectively punted on it.
Right.
All right, we went long there with Sal. I don't care. It's a great conversation. And we'll come back. A little bit of a grab bag here coming up next. John Gertler at 1:30 as the Bandits are once again, in the NLL Finals. It's a tale as old as time at this point. And so we'll talk with John about the potential matchups that are still undecided at this point. But the NLL series will begin next week. So we'll talk about that as well. Derek Kramer, Joe Kelly, this is Sports Talk Saturday on WGR.